Welcome to another edition of Layla Weighs In on the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. It's mid-January, and I got a question. I got an email from Karen who asks, Layla, would you please discuss reactive hypoglycemia? And I said, hey, that's a great idea, and that would certainly fill up this entire podcast. So let's see how this goes. Reactive hypoglycemia, if you look in the medical textbooks, one of the things it will say about it is that it is often rare. Not as rare as old textbooks would tell you. And I remember back in the day, I'm talking maybe 3 decades ago or so, when the typical medical advice for reactive hypoglycemia was eat a candy bar, carry a candy bar with you. Well, fortunately, the advice has gotten better. It's more like carry, you know, some nuts, maybe some peanuts or macadamias. First, what is reactive hypoglycemia? Reactive meaning reacting to the food we're eating. Hypoglycemia is low blood sugar. It means its definition is low blood sugar. And how do we get low blood sugar? Some people think they are born with it. We have patients come in and something is, I have low blood sugar, so I have to eat something every 3 hours. It's true. If you do have low blood sugar, you probably do have to eat something every few hours. Otherwise, you're stressing your adrenals. And low blood sugar, many people think that hypoglycemia is the opposite of type 2 diabetes. Indeed, it is not. Let me tell you. Hypoglycemia is pre-type 2 diabetes, is really what it is. You're probably wondering, how is that so? Low blood sugar, isn't that better than high blood sugar? Really, we're talking about unstable blood sugar. Because you don't go through the entire day with hypoglycemia, there are swings in your blood sugar. You eat something, your blood sugar will go up. Subsequently, insulin, a very important hormone released by your pancreas, will attempt to bring that blood sugar back to normal. But if you're on the standard American diet and eating a lot of carbohydrates, or just eating a lot of even complex carbohydrates, not necessarily refined ones, the pancreas will release enough insulin to overshoot and cause your blood sugar not just to come back down to normal, but to drop low. Hypoglycemia, low blood sugar. And when that happens, guess what? We're hungry. It's time to eat again. That's why after you've had a bowl of pasta for dinner, you may be hungry an hour or 2 hours later. It's the resulting low blood sugar that's occurring. So keep in mind that hypoglycemia is part of the process of unstable blood sugar, which can then eventually, if we continue eating in a way to support the hypoglycemia, we can eventually move towards diabetes because it's that swing in blood sugar. It's the very high blood sugar dropping down to the very low. And then the whole cycle begins again as we're looking for that next carbohydrate fix. When our blood sugar is that low, we are so hungry that we can't get enough food on our fork. You've probably felt that hungry at some point in your life, okay? That's when we take too long. That's when we let too many hours go by, say between lunch and dinner. 5 hours should be a little bit of an alarm. Even if you're not quite hungry yet, it's probably time to have your next meal or at least nibble on something until you can get to your next meal. But if we're letting 7 or 8 hours go by, and it's even shorter than that for many people. Some people, it's as little as 4 hours or even 3 hours. The classic symptoms of hypoglycemia are shaking, sweating, tremors. Some feel anxiety. Some actually feel panic. Some people feel dizzy. Many, many people feel cranky. I know there are several of you out there who feel angry. Okay. So cranky, angry, or how's this word? You've probably read it before, hangry. It's the combination of hungry and angry. That's a consequence of low blood sugar. So how do we get hypoglycemia? Well, It's a lifestyle condition. We chose it. How did we choose it? By choosing to eat the foods that we do. If you're going to start your day with a sugary cereal, you will likely be ravenous a couple of hours later, well before lunchtime. Hey, but you know what? Not even a sugary cereal. It could be a bowl of steel-cut oatmeal for many of us. I know that if I eat a bowl of oatmeal for breakfast, I am ravenous by 10:30. That's not a good thing. So, very, very important to stabilize blood sugar and keep it stable all day long. And how do we do that? We do that by having some protein and fat at every meal. Protein and fat, you don't have to look for combinations of two foods. Fats are inherent in our protein sources, for instance, in our eggs, in our meat, in our poultry, even in our fish, right? So, the good news is, if you have reactive hypoglycemia, you can set up your blood sugar for 50% of your day by choosing the proper breakfast. If you choose the proper breakfast and stabilize your blood sugar, you're going to be good to go for pretty much the rest of the day. Chances are very good you're not going to get swings or very low blood sugar unless you've waited too long to eat your lunch or your dinner, or that you're not going to be craving. And that will happen with some practice over time. It doesn't necessarily happen the very next day when you change your diet. So starting your breakfast with a protein and fat is helpful in setting up your blood sugar for as well as 50% of your day. For people who are severely hypoglycemic, they may need a little more help. They may need to have snacks in between their three big meals. They may need to nibble on a little something, protein and fat related, every 2.5 to 3 hours. These are the folks who've had hypoglycemia for so long that now they're in adrenal stress or their adrenals are completely worn out. Let me explain how that occurs. When we let ourselves get too hungry or we've been too busy to go eat lunch because we're just too busy at work and our blood sugar drops quite low, our adrenal glands, those heroic glands sitting atop our kidneys, will secrete catecholamines and cortisol and all of that in an effort to boost that blood sugar back up, because low blood sugar, hypoglycemia, is actually a little bit of an emergency in the body. Depending on how low it goes, it could be quite the emergency. Extreme hypoglycemia has wound people up in hospitals with seizures. I'm talking quite low. All right. So you see that kind of extreme hypoglycemia, by the way, with insulin-dependent diabetics. That's often what happens when they've administered too much insulin. It's lowered the blood sugar too low, and they're at risk of having extreme low blood sugar, which may be a medical emergency. So very important for insulin-dependent diabetics to have a glucose pill in their pocketbook or a little orange juice on hand, because that's an emergency situation. For regular hypoglycemia, non-diabetes related, don't reach for the juice necessarily unless you were in quite a state and you're not feeling well at all. You're extremely unwell. But the best thing to do then is to possibly have a little bit of juice if you feel like this is an emergency. A little bit of juice, maybe a quarter cup. Wait about 10 minutes. Your blood sugar should begin to rise. And then go eat some protein. Go eat some chicken salad or something like that on a bed of greens or a hard-boiled egg. You know, a handful of macadamia nuts, something like that. So the adrenals, as I was beginning to talk about, they are the superheroes that come out and attempt to lift that blood sugar back into the normal range. Now, if this is a daily occurrence where we're eating too many carbohydrates, we're getting hypoglycemia, we're not getting to the next meal in time, our adrenals are constantly put to work on a daily basis, and eventually they can wear out. If you've got very weak adrenals as a result of ongoing hypoglycemia, we need to then replenish your adrenals as well. And part of soothing your adrenals again is to make sure that you have very regular meal times and that you have snacks in between so that your adrenals can take a vacation from being called in to raise your blood sugar, to help cure the hypoglycemia as it's happening during the day. You have to take care of that with a proper meal instead, so you don't allow the hypoglycemia to happen. What else can cause hypoglycemia? I told you, it's a lifestyle condition. Eating a lot of carbs begets craving for more carbohydrates. This is the vicious cycle that we go on when we continue to eat carbs. Even your good carbs, it could be your whole grain pasta, your brown rice, your gluten-free grains like quinoa and all of that. Combining that with some protein is extremely helpful in regulating your blood sugar. But if your blood sugar is quite unstable, if you're really having problems, one of the best things to do is to really limit the amounts of those carbohydrates that you're having. Even whole grains can cause hypoglycemia. For those of you, and I know it's many of you, you may have to eliminate the grains altogether and have your carbohydrates just be your vegetable sources, your salads, your other non-starchy vegetables like asparagus, your Brussels sprouts, your cabbage, your broccoli, all of those, your kale, right? What else can cause hypoglycemia? Do you normally have a glass of wine? If you do, have it with your dinner. If you have a glass of wine, a cocktail, a beer on an empty stomach, it's a hypoglycemic. Did you know? If you have more than that, it's going to be even more of a hypoglycemic. And those of you who drink regularly, you may find that you're becoming an insomniac. You don't have any trouble falling asleep. However, you find that you have trouble staying asleep. You may find that you're waking up at 2, 3, or 4 in the morning for no good reason. Not because you have to go to the bathroom, not because you heard a noise or a car alarm or anything like that, or your spouse is snoring. You're waking up for no good reason. That wake up in the middle of the night is an indication of hypoglycemia in the middle of the night. Check what you're eating during the day. If you're having drinks in the evening, that can cause hypoglycemia in the middle of the night. If you're having dessert after your dinner, or you're having a sweet snack before you go to bed, an hour or two before you go to bed, you're getting low blood sugar in the middle of the night. You're causing that hypoglycemia. One of the best bedtime snacks, I think, may be similar to your morning, maybe a hard-boiled egg, a handful of nuts. You know, that chicken drumstick you didn't finish at dinner, go nibble on that. It's not going to be necessarily a sweet thing. It's not necessarily going to be your low-fat yogurt with, you know, some mango in it. Probably not the best choice, okay? By the way, fruit, eaten on an empty stomach, for those of you who are prone to hypoglycemia, can cause more hypoglycemia. Think about it. Have you ever eaten an apple in the middle of the afternoon? You weren't quite hungry. But after eating that apple, an hour later, you were ravenous. Guess what? The fructose, the sugar in that apple, caused a rapid rise in your blood sugar, and then that subsequent drop as insulin comes out to normalize your blood sugar. You get that drop in your blood sugar. Unfortunately, the fiber in that apple, in the skin of the apple, if you eat the skin of the apple, which is about 3 to 4 grams of fiber, is not enough to temper the absorption of the fructose or the sugar in that apple. So eating that fruit with the fiber that's in it is not enough to stabilize your blood sugar. Fruit should be your new dessert. So have your main meal first. Don't get up in the morning and eat half a grapefruit and then go eat your scrambled eggs. Eat your scrambled eggs and then have the grapefruit. Eat your omelet, then go have your half cup or cup of berries. Eat your dinner, and then go have some cubed cantaloupe or a little fruit cocktail, fresh, no sugar added, okay? Now, where do we see hypoglycemia the most? People who are eating a lot of junky carbohydrates, right? That almost goes without saying. But we often see that with many vegetarians, but particularly vegans. Why? A vegan diet is composed mainly of carbohydrates. They're mostly carbohydrates. Hard to change any of that. Yes, you can have soy, you can have tofu and all of that, but a vegan is also going to be eating a lot of grains, and even though those grains could be healthy whole grains, they can still adversely impact blood sugar. I've seen this time and time again. And where we really see it is in the symptoms that they're complaining about. They think they have an anxiety disorder. It's not. It's low blood sugar. It can often feel like anxiety. They're complaining of dizziness. They're complaining of nausea, of fatigue, of tremors, of extreme hunger, of hangriness, hungry and angry, or of being cranky. One of the best ways, or I think the only way, besides how a patient is presenting themselves and describing their symptoms, and I take a full diet history and I see what they're eating, and we kind of connect the dots with how they're feeling a couple of hours later, or as much as 4 or 5 hours later, we're able to really determine if it's hypoglycemia or not. But really the gold standard, and this is something we do here at the Hoffman Center, it's the 5-hour glucose tolerance test. This is the gold standard. Now, don't expect that you can go to your doctor's office, say your primary care, and ask for a glucose tolerance test. They will send you for the oral glucose tolerance challenge. It will typically only be for 2 to 3 hours, you know, the one they give for pregnant women to find out if they have gestational diabetes or not, or for anybody they suspect having diabetes. But unfortunately, in their GTTs, the standard GTT, they're only looking at blood sugar levels. And they're only looking over the course of 2 to 3 hours. We also need to look at insulin levels. And we do that here at the Hoffman Center. Your doctor will not be doing insulin levels. The amount of insulin your pancreas secretes tells us a whole lot about how it's attempting to control your blood sugar and if you have hyperinsulinism or not. If you have hyperinsulinism, this is often the cause of low blood sugar. Hyperinsulinism, in its attempt to keep your blood sugar within the normal ranges, your blood sugar may be in the normal ranges, but if you have hyperinsulinism, this will eventually lead to diabetes. And worse yet, that hyperinsulinism over a period of years, with your poor pancreas being called upon to secrete all that insulin, will eventually get tired and wear out. Now, your blood sugar is going to remain high. There's not enough insulin anymore to bring that blood sugar back to normal. Now we have type 2 diabetes. And if we let this process continue and we don't catch it, and we don't see on a 5-hour glucose tolerance test how much insulin, if any, your pancreas is secreting, we're not going to know where you are in your diabetes. With late-stage diabetes, the pancreas is worn out. It's not secreting insulin anymore. The blood sugars are just uncontrollably high, and now that late-stage type 2 diabetic needs to take insulin. You don't ever want to go there. Hypoglycemia, type 2 diabetes, these are lifestyle conditions. These are lifestyle conditions. 80 to 90% of it is controlled with diet. The rest is with physical activity. And often, We will prescribe supplements. Chromium is a very important one for stabilizing blood sugar. Gymnema is another one. Berberine. There are many, many others. Okay. So what else about hypoglycemia? If you're on the run, first of all, you need to make sure, you need to set up your schedule in a way that you're having your main meals at least within the same hour. You want to eat your breakfast upon an hour of waking up, okay? Don't wait too long to eat breakfast. Some of you insist that you're fine without breakfast. If you're okay with 2 meals a day, you're fine, but these people don't have hypoglycemia unless they're just eating more later in the day. They probably do have blood sugar issues, but you know, that's going to be another topic for another time. So, you want to have your meals around the same time every day, or at least within the same hour and a half window. Make sure you're prepared with snacks. Carry around some nuts or seeds. This is probably the best snack. It's nature's original functional food. Take them with you, okay? If you're allergic to nuts and seeds, pack a hard-boiled egg. Get a little cooler bag. Put in a little Tupperware, some chicken salad or shrimp salad, or, you know, a chicken drumstick or something like that, or a couple of meatballs. Or, you know, that leftover lamb chop that you didn't have, carry that with you. Keep it nice and cool in a little cooler bag. munch on, eat it at some point between your breakfast and lunch or lunch or dinner. Anytime you start to feel that little twang of, I'm starting to get hungry, or I'm starting to get dizzy, or I'm starting to get cranky or hangry. Okay? So, Karen, thank you very much for that topic all about hypoglycemia. I thank you for joining me again on Layla Weighs In on this edition of the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients every day here at the Hoffman Center. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.